moms and dads. By the way, dads like kisses too, by the way. I want you to know that. But we are to honor our father and mother. May God bless us. Give us many days upon the earth as a result of that. Many of us here today are a benefactor of our parents who invested in us. Aren't you glad they did? I don't know about you. I'm thankful for godly parents who invested in me, who didn't give up on me. They could have given up on me, but I'm thankful they didn't. I'm thankful for the Christian heritage that's been passed along. Some of you might not know, but my dad was a pastor for many years. He was a pastor of several churches, and he ended up later in life to go into evangelism, him and mom. And they would travel doing evangelistic work. They made over 70 trips to India and Africa sharing the gospel. And I had the wonderful privilege of going with them 3 times to Africa, to Kenya. And I had a blast because my dad would always put me with my mom. Maybe she was supposed to keep a good eye on me. I don't know. But we would always be partnered together. We went up some mountains that I want you to know that we had to go up on all fours. And how my mom did that, I don't know, but she did it. I'm thankful for my parents. My mom sacrifice for us kids because she stayed home with us. We didn't have everything that we wanted, but we had everything we needed. God provided. But the most important thing, we had a happy home. A happy home where parents led us in the ways of God. As a result of that, there were 5 of us kids, 4 boys, which all of us are pastors today. Praise God for that. Glory to God. And my sister's a pastor's wife, close as she could get. She's a pastor's wife. And then we have 2 daughters, as you know, that are married to pastors. And what a privilege, what a heritage that God has given us. And I am standing here today very, very thankful for what God has done for me. And I'm thankful for my heritage. The legacy that my parents left for me, it's more valuable than any monetary value. By the way, parents, you can leave your kids money. But I'm going to tell you something more important to leave your kids some money is faith, is the faith that you have in the Lord. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Remember last week I began a series of sermons on faith and the importance of faith in our lives. And I'm thankful for the opportunity we have of going back and remembering what the Lord has done for us. Remember last week, we looked at how important faith is. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. It's called the hallmark of faith or the heroes of faith. In fact, all of those mentioned in chapter 11, the writer of the Hebrews begins in chapter 12. He says, wherefore, and by the way, the word wherefore refers to everything before he had just spoken about, all those men and women of faith. He says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race that is given to us with patience. May we put aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. And he says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. May I tell you, everyone in chapter 11, they're not there, catch this, they're not there to be spectators. They're to be people we can look to in the difficult times of life. When you're going through a fiery furnace and say, can I make it through this trial in my life? You look to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. who went in the fiery furnace, and when they got there, the pre-incarnate Christ was already in there waiting on them, because Nebuchadnezzar looked in that fiery furnace. He said, did we not throw three bound? There's four, and they're loose, and the fourth is likened unto the Son of God. The reason he's likened to the Son of God, it was the Son of God. That's how we know how to face the fiery furnaces of life. Have any of you ever been in a lion's den? Or maybe people around you are about to eat you up? Daniel prayed three times a day before the lion's den. He got thrown in the lion's den for praying. He prayed three times a day, I believe, in the lion's den. And he prayed three times a day after the lion's den. The Bible says that God sent an angel to shut the mouth of the lions. Do you believe that to be so? I do, because that's what the word says. The promises of God are true. And every one of these people we can look back to. Noah, how he had an obeying faith. How he spent 120 years building that ark, folks. Didn't waver. Think about it. Everybody around him was living in sin and unrighteousness. But yet he didn't waver. And I'm sure he took ridicule. Can I tell you something? We're living in a day and time people ridicule born-again believers. They ridicule those who want to walk with God. You know why they ridicule us? They don't understand our faith. They don't understand what the Lord's done for us. And then last week together we looked at how there's faith in living. See, verse 6, look at it there, verse 6 of chapter 11. It says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Or him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must have faith in our living on a day-by-day basis. We looked at how we have faith in praying. The Bible says we're to pray by faith. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. We looked at the fact that you need to have faith in fighting. The Bible says we can take Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God, but part of that armor, he says we're to take the shield of faith, wherewith we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy, the devil. We looked at how there's faith in healing. James chapter 5 says, is any sick among you, call the elders of the church. What are you to do? They're to anoint you with oil, but the key is not anointing with oil. It says the prayer of faith will heal. Do you believe that today? I believe God has the power to heal. I'm standing here today as a result of that. I think God has the power to restore. And by the way, he can heal more than physically. He can heal a marriage. He can heal a relationship. He can heal your life today. Maybe you're going through a struggle. Trust God. He will be with you through this time. So faith is very important. Faith is living in a hope that is so real, it gives you absolute assurance. Remember last week we looked at the fact that the Old Testament saints believed the promises of God, but not only did they believe the promises of God, they acted on the promises of God. See, that's a part of faith. Faith is not only believing the promise of God, faith is acting on it. You see those men and women of faith. Enoch walked with God and was not. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. What was it? His heart was right with God. Noah built that boat. And on and on and on through this 11th chapter, you can see men and women of faith who did not give up, who kept going. That Sunday night, we looked at Joshua. Joshua was the one that led the children to the promised land. They had to go over the Jordan. For them to go over the Jordan, it was at flood stage. They had to follow the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was representative of the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. And in that Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod that budded, showing the power of God. It was the Ten Commandments showing the direction of God. And there was golden manna showing the provision of God. See, when we live by faith, our God is able to take care of us. Do you believe that today? I believe there's some here today that are trying to figure that out in your life. But I'm going to tell you today, God's faithful. The just shall live by their faithfulness. We've found that to be true in the scripture. And I want to tell you today, that's how we're to walk. See, the truth of the matter is this. Everyone in this room are walking by sight, or you're walking by faith. Let me tell you what happens when you walk by sight. When you walk by sight, you become fearful. The opposite of faith is fear. Okay? Fear will paralyze you. It'll shut you down. It'll keep you from being the man or woman that God wants you to be. That's the reason the Bible says, perfect love casteth out all fear. I want to tell you today, we need to walk in faith and not by sight. There's two ways to live. One is the most common, to live by sight. Everyone, they say, well, you know what? I'll believe if I see it, or I'll believe if I can touch it, or I'll believe if I can hear it for myself. Aren't you glad these Old Testament saints, they believed the promises of God. They were looking for a city whose maker was God. They never did see that, but they still believed it. They went on. Look at verse 13. I want you to see this. Look at it. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You see that? These people never did. They never did see those promises. Remember what God said to the Old Testament people? He says, I'm going to raise up a Messiah. That's the reason Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ, says that there's going to be one, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. But listen to me today, folks. I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge fathers today, here on Father's Day. I want to challenge you to be a man of faith. Not just talk about it, act on it. Not just believe the promises, but do what God says. And today I want to look at who is we consider the father of faith. The father of the faithful, and his name was Abraham. Look at it with me, if you would, with the scripture, beginning in verse 17 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. By faith, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, that he would receive the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom he said that in Isaac shall all the seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from dead, from whence also he received him as a figure. Now, earlier in this passage, it talks about faith of Abraham. Look at verse 8. Go back to verse 8 a minute. Notice what it says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. May I tell you the first thing about Abraham I want you to see today is the plan of faith. The plan of faith. God says, listen, I've got something for you. May I tell you someday, listen to me today, church. We have never seen God. We've never seen Jesus Christ. We've never seen heaven or hell or the Holy Spirit, but we believe, according to the word of God, that it's true. And Abraham believed. The plan of faith involves obedience. If you read the account in Genesis 12, he's told to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans and go to a place. By the way, he didn't even know where he was going. How many of us would do that? God says, hey, I want you to pack everything you have. I want you to leave your business. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave everything you have, and I want you to follow me. I'm not telling you where you're going, but you need to go. By the way, that's faith, amen? That's a pilgrimage of faith. He obeyed God. When God called him, he went. And by the way I read the scripture, as soon as God called him, he got up and started packing. Say, that's kind of unusual, Brother Jerry. Well, you find that in the scripture. Do you not know that? We find that in the scripture. You remember Matthew when he was called to be a disciple? He was a tax collector, and the Bible says he arose from his tax collector desk. I believe he left the money on the table, and he went to follow Jesus. And you know what? That's what God calls us to do. The pilgrimage of faith and the plan of faith will always be God's plan, because I'm going to tell you, it's by obedience that we follow him. Never seen where he was going, but he went, folks. Think about that just a minute. And then notice what it says here. Not knowing whether he goeth. When he was called, and literally in the Greek there it reads, and the Greek reads, as he was being called, he left. May I tell you something he did? He was living there among a pagan people. He was living there among a pagan people, among a people who worshiped idols. And Abraham left that. He left that to follow the Lord. May I tell you today, God's looking for us to be faithful. He's looking for us to be willing to leave. See, faith begins when we're willing to leave our Ur. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Jerry? Well, listen to what the Bible says. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. And then listen to verse 2. Don't miss it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what God calls us to. The same God that called Abraham is the God who calls us. And we must have the same response. We must be obedient. In obedience, faith is lived out. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to live our faith out in our individual lives. Remember when Jesus was, he had a lot of followers, and there were a lot of people that were would-be followers. Some of them made excuses for not following him. One day a man says, oh, I bought some new oxen, I got to try them out. Well, I've got to go bury a loved one. By the way, if you read the scripture there, the loved one wasn't dead yet. He was just making an excuse. Remember, Jesus turned around in Luke 9:23, gives us these words. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what faith is all about. Faith means that you and I are willing to leave where we are and go where God wants us to be. Listen to me today. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for men. Fathers, I want to preach to you a little bit today. He's looking for men who will stand up as men of God, and you will lead your family. You will lead your family in the ways of God. You will lead them in the way of God. You'll lead them in the way they should go. I'm going to tell you what, we have a problem today in America. The problem with America is we have a lot of absentee fathers. And folks, let me tell you what, I'm convinced as the men go, so goes our nation. As the men go in a church, so goes the church. You believe that? Now, I'm not negating a woman's responsibility, a mother's responsibility, and their importance in the church. Don't misunderstand me. But I still believe God wants men to be leaders. He wants us to follow after God, and we're to set the example for our family and for our church. We're to be like Joshua of old. Remember what he said? He says, you got a choice. He came to the end of his life. He's about to die in Joshua 24. He's about to die, and he preaches to them. He says, listen, here's what I encourage you to do. The problem with the children of Israel, they had gone into the promised land, but they were starting to serve the idols of the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hittites. He turns around and he says, listen, you got to decide who you're going to follow. Are you going to follow the gods of the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hittites? Or are you going to follow the true God? And here's what he says, a statement of faith. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to tell you, God's looking for men like that today. Men who will take the plan of faith. And then going down with me, verse 9. Look at verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, with heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Listen to me today, folks. He was called. He left his friends. He left his homeland. He left his business. Everything to follow the Lord. Listen to me. The Lord that served, God that called him, is the God that calls us. We got to be willing to lay everything down in order for God to use us. I ask you a question today. What is it that you're not willing to lay down? Well, Brother Jerry, you know, I'm kind of handling my finances. I can do my finances. I want you to know you can't do your finances. God can. You got to be willing to lay it down. And I've told you all this before, and I'll say it again today. God can do a whole lot more with 90% than you can do with 100%. You got to honor God. Remember, we looked last week at faith and giving. The Lord told in Malachi there, he says that we're to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And remember what he said? He said, and you will prove me, says the Lord, that I will not open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing more than you can handle. Well, I'll tell you what, my parents lived that. My parents, whenever they went into evangelism, when you go into evangelism, you don't have a church salary anymore or anything to go to church. You go out by faith. And they went out by faith and they became people who by faith walked in the ministry and they trusted God for provision. And God provided. I did not know the first 2 years they went to evangelism that they almost starved to death. My mom was cleaning houses. They never said a word to us. But she was cleaning houses. They could make ends meet. And then God started blessing. And what they became a riverbed in which God flowed his blessings to others. And at the end, before my dad passed away, God was blessing them. People were supporting them $10,000 a month. But you know what? They didn't keep it. They gave it away. They were just a riverbed in which it flowed to people and building churches in Africa and drilling wells in Africa and ministering, sending young men to seminary in Africa to train them to be the leaders. The indigenous people, they determined that they are the ones who can reach their people even in a greater way than we can. By faith, they walk. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's how God wants us to walk. Thirdly, we've seen the plan of faith and the pilgrimage of faith. May I give you a third thing, the promise of faith. Faith does have promises. When we obey and leave what he wants us to leave, God will bless us. I want you to think about this just a minute. He'll bless us and work in miracles in our life. Remember, God had told him, I don't want you to miss this, God had told them that I'm going to bless you. He says, as the sand on the seashore is, so will be your heritage, your people. Now, by the way, Abraham and Sarah were trying to wrap their mind around that, and God still hadn't given them the son of promise yet. Listen to me. I'm thankful the Bible gives us the whole truth. Abraham made a mistake. Sarah said, hey, it ain't going to happen. I want you to take Hagar. Sleep with her and you'll have a child. Oh, he had a child all right. And that child's name was Ishmael. You know what's happening in the Middle East today? What's happening in the Middle East today is the mistake that Abraham made in not trusting God for the provision of that son of promise, not waiting for God. And by the way, how many of us like to wait for God? Not too many of us, right? We want it. We say, God, I pray that you give it to thee and give it to me right now. God's ways are not our ways, and his ways are fast finding out. My dad used to put them on the back of his calling card. God never hurries, but he is never late. As a result of that, what's happening in the Middle East, because of their disobedience, because of their lack of faith. But let me tell you what God did. God gave him a child, Isaac. You realize that Sarah was 90 years old? Abraham was 100 years old? Say, whoa, Brother Jerry, I can't, that's impossible. Let me tell you what, with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You must trust him today. You must believe him. See, faith is powerful. One person has said, faith sees the invisible, it hears the inaudible, it touches the intangible, and it accomplishes the impossible. True faith is deaf to doubt. It's dumb to discouragement. It is blind to impossibility. It sees only the promised success. And that's what Abraham, he trusted God, and God brought about a son called Isaac. The promise of faith. All that time, they were dwelling in tents. But they believe God's promises. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to wait on God's promise? Men, are we willing to wait on God's promise? By the way, while you're waiting, you're to be seeking God. Amen? He has a plan for every day of our lives. We live one day at a time. You can't live tomorrow. I didn't hear yet. You can't live in yesterday. It's past. You got to live in the present. And when you live in the present, you're to walk by faith. Abraham was not righteous in himself, but the Bible says it accounted to him for righteousness. Why? Because of his faith. That's how people came to know the Lord. Jesus Christ hadn't come yet to make a sacrifice for our sins. The Old Testament saints, it was accounted to them for righteousness by their faith. They trusted God. It is a demonstration of power in their life. Boy, my time went faster today than I've ever preached before. Well, I'm not going to be able to preach my last part because I want to take you, I'm going to just give it to you. I'm going to take another time to deal with it very carefully. But the final exam for Abraham was when God told him, he wanted to take that son of promise, Isaac. Remember, he's 100 years old. There was 90. He says, I want you to take the son of promise. I want you to take him up on the mount, and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, I've thought about that passage a whole lot. I have a son, Michael, that I love dearly. He is born right down here in the Cleburne Hospital, the old Cleburne Hospital. He was born on 7/7/77. Pretty amazing. I don't ever forget his birthday, amen? But I'm going to tell you what. I've thought about this passage. Would I be willing to take my only son if God asked me to and lay him on the altar of sacrifice? Listen to me, fathers, today, I think we need to be willing to do whatever God calls us to do. Abraham, if you read Genesis 22, and I'm going to look at this more in depth at a later sermon, but if you look at Genesis 22, the Bible says he got up early in the morning. I don't know about you, I would have said, well, I think I'm going to sleep in I'm not ready to sacrifice my son yet. But he believed God. If God asked him to do it, he was supposed to do it. And he went up to that mound, and his servant was down in the valley. He told his servant, my son and I are going up to the mount, and we will return again. Wow. That's faith, folks. That's faith. He knew that his God could take care of this situation. And sure enough, he had the fire. He had the wood. But he didn't have a sacrifice. Isaac said, Dad, he'd seen sacrifices before. He said, Dad, I see the wood. I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said to him, our God will provide. Went up to that mount, tied his son down, pulled that knife back to kill his son, to sacrifice his son. The angel calls out, says, Abraham, Abraham. And God provided. Remember what happened? There's a ram caught in the bulrushes. Remember, after that, he built an altar to the God, and he named that altar place Jehovah Yireh, the Lord who provides. Let me ask you a question today. What are you needing God to provide for you today? Fathers, what do we need today? I'm going to tell you the first thing we need to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. We need to learn to raise our family and our children in the ways of God. Fathers, you're to be the spiritual leader of the home. You're to be the provider of the home. You're to be the one that steps up. Like Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve God. And when you do, listen to me, God will not only bless you temporally, he'll bless you eternally. I ask you a question. What are you going to leave your children? Well, I've got this old car I plan on leaving my son. I've got this, we all mentioned all these things. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing you can leave your children is a legacy of faith. A legacy of faith that they saw you walking by faith. As a result of that, you lived it. You didn't just talk about it. You lived it the way you were committed to the church, to the Lord, to reading the Word of God, prayer. You lived your faith. As a result of that, you passed that along around to your sons and daughters. That's your legacy. Is that the legacy you have today? Now, I tell you something, listen to me. I know I preach these things, and some people say, man, I've messed up, Pastor. Well, let me tell you what, it's never too late. It's never too late to be a godly father. It's never too late to be a godly parent. It's never too late to have faith in God and say, listen, we're going to live for God. Your children shouldn't be asking on Saturday night, are we going to church tomorrow? Is that true? I'm going to tell you what, we never asked that. You say, well, your dad was a pastor. Well, I'm going to tell you what, we were still there. We didn't think, let the things of the world get in our way. I'm going to tell you something, I'm concerned today, church. I'm concerned that the things of this world have gotten in our way. We're more concerned about how a child can kick a soccer ball or throw a baseball or carry a football or some other sport than we are about teaching them the ways of God. There's no respect for the Lord's Day anymore. They play them all on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday now. They select ball. I'm going to tell you what, God's not honored with that. We need some families that will step up and say, hey, listen, You know what? If enough Christian families stood up and said, hey, listen, we're not going to play ball on Sunday, they'd have to quit playing ball on Sunday because they wouldn't have any players. Amen? We need some people to stand for God. Men and women of faith. There's some here today that you've never given your life to Christ. I'm going to invite you in a moment to walk down this aisle and say, you know what? I need Jesus. That's all you have to say to a pastor, I need Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you met the Lord in Vacation Bible School this week. You need to come forward and so we can share that with the church about the fact that you met the Lord and you're willing to follow the Lord in baptism. That's the first act of obedience. We invite you to come today. Others, God's calling you to a church home. You know, when the Lord comes again, He wants to find you faithful to a local body of believers. Not just wishy-washy. Say, hey, I want to commit. And by the way, if you're looking for a perfect church, you need to quit your search. Because there's no thing as a perfect search, a perfect church. Nothing. No such thing. But if you want to be a part of a church that's doing missions, that loves people, that cares for people, that prays for people, this is the place. If God's calling you, come today. And then maybe there's some fathers here today. God maybe is speaking to your heart. It's time for us men to step up. There's some fathers maybe today right where you are in this altar. You need to say, God, help me be the father. Help me be the husband I need to be. Let's stand. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you.